Hello, everyone in TV land. Because I'm using this lapel microphone today. What?
It doesn't say that you're alive.
I am alive. I'm not dead. I know, I'm just joking. There's a pause. Try it again. No, I want... How about the sound? All right. Line up for that. Okay, so you can hear. Okay, bye-bye. Turn it off. All right. That's funny. Jai Radha Madhubha Kunja Vihare. Jai Radha Madhubha Kunja Vihare. Gopi Nana Malabha Vibharodhagate. Gopi nana manama hiri paru dhavate. Yasura nandana vajadana nandana Yasura nandana Raja Janaranjana Bona De Ravana Chalare Yamuna Te Ravana Chalare. Jai Radha Madhubha Kunja Vihare. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Also Dada Satoshi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Channa Dabhakta Vedanta Gosave Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Voishna Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai Param Se Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavaram Kijai Maturam Kijai Navadeepdam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimadagrasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Prevedanda Haribo. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go Prabhananda Hari Hari Bo. Okay. So I'd like to welcome all the devotees. Actually, there's a devotee from who used to be in Fiji, who lives in Europe, is watching us. Braja Prem. And remember her? She's in Slovenia. Leela Mundry, actually so many nice devotees, Adi Dave, Krishna Chaitanya, Rasheshri, Sudesh Singh, Kamlesh Prasad, so many, yeah. Rasheshri is watching. You know what Shastri?
This is for the issues.
Yes, you know it. You remember it. Good. Okay. Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 4, text 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Shri Vacha Iti Saha Videvena Vishwamurte Vula Kataya Shudhoya Pravitorupta Paha Kshanam Iva Kulele Yamasvasus Tam Samuchita Opagave Nisham Tato Agat Shishivivacha. Iti saha vidurena, iti saha vidurena, iti saha vidurena vishvamurte,
iti saha vidurena
vishvamurte, gunakataya sudaya plavito. Let me get the melody again. Iti saha vidurena vishvamurte. Gunakataya sudaya plavito rupta paha. Shanam iva pulini. Ishanam iva pulini. Pulinde Yamasvasustam Vasustam Samushita Opagavam Nishantatogat Shishugavacha Iti saha vidurena vishvamurte Gunakataya sudaya plavito rutapaha Shomam virapulineya yamas vasustam Samushita opagavaya nisham tato gat Shishugavacha Iti saha vidurena vishvamurte Gunakataya sudaya plavito rutapaha Shanam Nivapulineyamas Vast Yamavash. No, sorry. Shanam Nivapuline Yamas Vasustam. Samushita Opagave Nisham Tatogat. Okay.
Shishu
Vacha,
Shishu
Vacha,
Shishu
श्री सुख उवाच इति सह विद्रेण विश्वमूर्ते पुनः कथाया सुधाया प्लवित पूत पातता शनम ईवा पुलिनी यमस्वासुष्टम् समुषिता अपु गभीर निशम ततोगात
श्री शुक उवाच
My ears does sound better.
Savu sita apaga vinishan tatuka.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just trying to test the sound levels. There's some complaints. Can you hear me, Mayapur? Is it working well now? Anyway, so much for that. Type it right away because we're continue with class. Okay. Anyway, so much for the technology. It seems better. Okay. Good. Shri Sukravacha, Shri Sukadev Goswami said, Iti, thus, Saha, along with, Vidurena, Vidura, Vishwamurtehe, of the universal person. Vinakatiha, in the discourse of transcendental qualities. Sudeha, nectarian. Plavita urutapaha, overwhelmed by great affliction. Sharam, moment. Iva, like that. Pulane, on the bank of. Yamas Vasuhutam, River Yamuna. Samushitaha, passed on. Opagavahi, the son of Opagava, Udava. Nisham, the night. Tataha, thereafter. Agat, went away. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, O king, thus discussing with Vidura the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc., Vidura was overwhelmed with great affliction. He passed the night as it were a moment, and thereafter he went away. So purport by his divine grace. Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srivabhajabhad Ki Jai. The word used here for Krishna is Vishwamurti. Both Uddhava and Vidura were in great affliction because of Lord Krishna's departure, and the more they discussed the transcendental name, fame, and qualities of the Lord, the more the picture of the Lord became visible to them everywhere. Such visualization of the transcendental form of the Lord is neither false nor imaginary, but is factual, absolute truth. When the Lord is perceived as Vishwamurti, it is not that he loses his personality or transcendental eternal form, but he becomes visible in the same form everywhere. So, Sri Shukravacha, Iti Sahavidurena Vishwamurtir, Guna Kataya, Kataya Sudaya, Plavitur Rutapaha, Shanam Miva Pulineyamas. Yamas Vasus Tam Samushita Opagavir Nisham Tato Gat. So Omagana Tirandasha. Jananjana Shalaka Chakshur Om Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Well, interesting points here. One is the universal form is discussed. That's called Vishwa Murti. Vishwa means universe, Murti means form. Now, there are many different exhibitions of the universal form that are described in various Vaishnava literatures. There's the universal form in the Bhagavatam, where it's described that the trees are like the hairs on the Lord's body and the mountains are the bones. There's the universal form in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna sees various mouths, unlimited mouths actually, of the Lord, and the Lord is eating everybody. That's a non-vegetarian form of the Lord. So if you want to become a non-veg or non-vegetarian, you can have a deity of the universal form on your altar and just offer human beings. That's a cannibal form. Anyway, that's a form we use in Fiji, so for the cannibals. So there's that form, which was displayed for the first time to Arjuna, as described in the Gita. And there's other universal forms, too, that are described in other places. But the main point about the universal form is that Krishna is everywhere. And, of course, we are adherents to the Chinchaveda Beda Tapa philosophy, which means that Krishna is everywhere and not everywhere simultaneously, which is kind of interesting. So, in other words, Krishna is there in his energy, and for the edification of the devotees, he displays, devotees and also non-devotees, he displays the universal form to show how he is everything. But at the same time, Goloka eva nivasyati akilatma bhuta. At the same time, he's always in Goloka Vrindavan. He's always in the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha planets. He's as there as the Mahavishnu. He's there as the Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Karandakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, all these different Vishnu forms. At the same time, he's there as for Lord Varaha, Korma, Matsya, Ram, Nishinga. It's a pretty interesting God. He does everything simultaneously. But the universal form is not its transcendental form. It's temporarily manifest for a specific purpose. So as far as this description here, the universal form, is concerned, it's not that they saw the same universal form that was there in the Gita or the Bhagavatam. In other words, in this particular instance, they are seeing Krishna everywhere and everything, because they're identifying Krishna's material energy with him in one sense. In other words, it's his property. As Prabhupada said, when you see a car, Prabhupada uses this, of course, in regard to the soul different being different than the body. When you see a car, you say, Mr. So-and-so is coming. Yeah. Or when you see, let's say, you know, everybody identifies here my sneakers. So they see the sneakers, and it's Gurudev's sneakers. So, in other words, you remember me when you see my sneakers, and sometimes devotees steal socks so they can remember the spiritual master. And in certain countries, they have auctions of guru's socks. In Russia, they have auctions of guru's socks, and sometimes it gets like $10,000, $20,000. So one day I will go there. It's better than New Zealand. Anyway, so... Not really, what?
No one's that rich here.
Yeah, it's an auction for socks. They said, you know, I stole them last time I bathed his feet anyway. Why did I do? I could steal them. What they usually do. Usually when I go to people's homes, I wear my worst set of socks, I mean the oldest set, because I know they're going to steal them. You know, anyway. So, but when you see something that belongs to someone, you know, like, I guess if I'm not here... and, you know, this sweatshirt, what you call a jumper here. Then Draupadi looks at the jumper and she sees, oh, Gurudev, right? So you remember. Of course, that's completely mundane. So we have to be humble. So anyway, so when a devotee sees this energy, it reminds him of Krishna because it's Krishna's property. As Issa Upanishad says, that Ishvarasam idam saram yatkinta bhagajagam jagat tena chaktena bunjada. Anyone know that? Madhvad Hargashas Vedanam. That everything is only controlled by the Supreme Personality of God, and people are given a quota. In other words, you're giving a certain amount to use in Krishna's service, but it's Krishna's property, so you have to use it for Krishna. And if you don't use it for Krishna, you're a thief, you're a rascal. Another example that I sometimes give, let's say you're a rich man's chauffeur. You know what a chauffeur is?
Yeah.
A chauffeur is someone who drives someone around, you know, like a driver, as you would say here. And you're given use of his Mercedes or BMW or even better Rolls Royce. And you're driving him around and you drop him off and you think, well, he's not around anymore. I can use his Mercedes, Rolls Royce, BMW, or better than that, a Maserati, to enjoy life. And then you go for your party. So that's what we've done in this material world. We've taken Krishna's energy and we're trying to party. Of course, our party means that we always end up with a hangover. You know what a hangover is? Like when I went to the university, just about every student in my dormitory on Sunday morning had a hangover. They were all lying in the halls of the dormitory, and sometimes they would vomit. So that's like the material we try to enjoy, and then we end up like with more pain and sorrow and everything like that. Anyway, so in other words, we should see everything as connected to Krishna. And of course, that statement is there in my favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What's my favorite verse in the Bhagavad Gita? No, but give me the Sanskrit for it. I know 6:30. I know that already. But what's the Sanskrit for it? I haven't learned that yet. You have so many rascals here. So, Yomam Pashati. What's the next line? Sarvam. Not Sarvam Guyam. That means a secret. It's all secret. You know, Sarvam Guyam. Sarvam Chumayi Pashati. Pashati to see. Tashaham Napranashami Sachame Napranashati. It means one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. Very important verse. You never learn that, Bhakti Shastri? It's one of the most important verses. Because we have to see Krishna everywhere. I mean, obviously, we're not in the temple all day long looking at the deities. If you just see Krishna and the deities, then you are a Kanishtha Adhikari. You're a very neophyte person. And if you don't see Krishna in everyone's heart, you're a neophyte. And if you treat the living entities, other living entities badly and treat the deities nicely, the deities won't accept your service. It's like offering oblations to ashes, according to Lord Kapiladeva, right? So this is very important. That's why it's such an important verse, to see Krishna everywhere, especially in people's hearts. You know, Sarvasya Chaham, what's that verse? Good, good. You know, at least one verse. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam. No, Brahmayan. Brahmayan Sarvabhutani. Yantra. Rudani Maya. This material energy is a machine. Yantra means a machine, and the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati, in the heart. Ramayan Sabhavudna. And I don't remember numbers. It's in the last chapter of the Gita. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam. Ishwara, it means the controller. Sarvabhutanam is with every living entity. Hridesha, in the heart. Arjuna. Everybody knows the meaning of Arjuna. No, means him. You know, it's Arjuna Tishtati is situated. Brahmayan, as the living entity is wandering, Sarvabhutani on the everywhere, you know, all living entities are wandering, basically. Yantra, the machine of the material energy, so Krishna's directing their wanderings. So, not only to see the external things, but also, you know, what the Matak Smriti or Gyanamaponamcha, you know the words? That's nice. So to see that whatever intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness you get, or don't get, that's also Krishna. It's amazing. So when we talk about seeing Krishna everywhere and everything, it's not only seeing Krishna in everything externally, but seeing Krishna in our thoughts, seeing Krishna in what we remember, seeing Krishna in the intelligence. Of course, Krishna also says that, you know, in the intelligence of men and also women. wow, Vedesh. Anyway, Pranabhava Sarva Vedeshu. Of the cape or the sushi. Anyway, whatever. So, you have to go?
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, too bad. We'll see you later?
If not the dinner, then the airport.
At the airport, okay. So, anyway, so Krishna is the intelligence in people. So whatever there is Krishna. And whatever happens to us is Krishna too. Except the things that are our fault. That's not Krishna. You can't blame Krishna for everything. Like if you don't wear your seatbelts and you get hurt, you say, well, it's Krishna's desire. Some devotees refuse to put a seatbelt on because they think, Krishna will protect me. But Krishna protected you by giving you a seatbelt, you rascal. Isn't it? Or some, you know, sometimes people do something foolish and they say it's Krishna's mercy, but it's not Krishna's mercy, it's their foolishness. So everything that's outside of our control, that we can accept as Krishna. Things inside of our control we can accept as Krishna allowing us to be foolish. Because Krishna is the overseer and permitter, according to the Bhagavad Gita. So, anyway, so this is what it means to see the Vishwamurti, the universal form. And we should actually see like that, wherever we go. That's Krishna's property. The intelligence is coming from Krishna. It's Krishna's spirit soul. He belongs to Krishna. You belong to Krishna. Just like if one has a loving relationship, they shouldn't think, you belong to me and I belong to you, like some Bollywood film. Right? You're mine and I'm yours. Forever. You heard this before? You're my property. No! You're actually being put in touch with this other person to engage them in Krishna's service, and they belong to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. You belong to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's Ishvashamidam Sarvam. Sarvam means everything. So that's the universal form as far as we're concerned. So don't go looking for the universal form. I mean, another way you can see the universal form, I was thinking about this. When I was young, I used to go camping. I'd look up at the stars. And I think, oh, God is so great. So it also encourages us to think that God is great. When we see the complexity of the universe, when we see the complexity of even an atom or a cell in the body, which is much more complex than the whole city of Auckland, has more motorways. But no traffic jams. Krishna's designed everything perfectly, so there's no traffic jams in your cell. Unless you eat too much sugar. Then you get... It's true. You eat too much sugar, you get a problem in your cell, because even the cell won't digest the sugar. And if you eat too much fat, then the cell won't absorb the sugar, and then you get diabetes. Anyway. So, but at least the way Krishna designed it functions perfectly. Everything functions perfectly. And then we see in the universe that there's different ratios that are reflected from the macrocosm to the microcosm. I'll explain what that means, because those are big words. That you have different ratios, for example, between the planets in the solar system. Then those same ratios are there in musical notes. Did you know that? The same ratios are there in your spine between different sections of the spinal column. And so, you know, you see design there. And you look at the different creatures, like all the different creatures you have here in New Zealand and Australia and wherever you go in the world. And you see this infinite design and beautiful things and flowers. So everything reminds you of Krishna. That's the real point. And so that's what's referred to as Vishwamurti here. Okay, that's the first point. Second point is, very interesting, that Uddhava is leaving poor Vidura to take instruction from Maitreya. Now, you may say, last verse we talked about etiquette. But really, that's not really the reason why Uddhava left. Vidura to take instruction from Maitreya, because if you read the section of Bhagavatam, you'll discover that Maitreya is not there. He's several days travel away. You know, it's not that Maitreya, you know, come in Maitreya, you know, like that. Because Maitreya is in Haridwar, if I remember correctly. And then Uddhava and Vidura are talking, you know, about 3 or 4 days away travel. So why with Uddhava say, you know, I'm not going to instruct you. I gotta leave. Because Uddhava is feeling something called vipralamba, or separation from Krishna. And upon Krishna's leaving this world, he got the instructions to rejoin Krishna in Bhadarika Ashrama. And Bhadarika Ashrama is where the Nara Narayan Rishis live. Of course, Nara Narayan, in one sense, is Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna is Nara, and Narayan is Krishna. And so they are meditating there. And so the point being is that Uddhava is feeling so much separation from the Lord, he wants to see the Lord again. So that's really why he wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. You know, so he's using the excuse that Maitreya is nearby, but Maitreya is not nearby. You know, 3 or 4 days travel by foot is not nearby. You know, and going all the way up to Haridwar is not nearby. It's not nearby. So anyway, so this is an interesting topic, this what we call vipralamba. And devotees are advised actually to worship Krishna in this vipralamba mood, or this intense, you know, viraha. It's like the word viraha, not viraha. Viraha means separation. So Prabhupada said we should chant the holy names in that particular mood, we should do our service in that particular mood, feeling Krishna's separation. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, he has this statement in Shikshashtika that, you know, Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravashayitam Shunyayitam. Do you know that? That's good. Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena Me. Krishna, Govinda, I'm feeling your separation, and a moment is like a yuga cycle. Actually, the translation we use is not really accurate. It says like, a moment is like 12 years a month. But it's like, but there, it's like a moment is yugayitam, like a yuga, like a divya yuga, which is a lot longer than 12 years or more. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us this, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his personal behavior manifested the quintessential, the perfection of feeling separation from Krishna. And also, Lord Jagannath shows us how to feel separation from Krishna. Or from Vrindavan, actually. Because the whole story about Lord Jagannath, which we told many times, and I'm not going to tell those story again, but when Krishna, who was in Dwarka, heard about his pastimes in Vrindavan, he felt so much separation from the pastimes in Vrindavan, he manifested his body like that. You know, basically his arm came like that, his eyes open wide, like that. Because that's vipralamba. So this is very important for the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, went to Jagannath Puri and stayed there for the final portion of his manifest pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited, let's say, such intense vipralamba that the devotees were always worried about him. For example, that he would, unless they stationed, even when they did station a guard at his door, he somehow or other managed to escape and jump into the ocean and float down all the way to the sun god's temple, which is like, you know, 20 or 30 kilometers away, because there's an intense current in the ocean there. And anyone's gone swimming in Jagannath Puri has experienced it. You can be carried down. It's called an undertow. You know what an undertow is? It means it's under the surface. So it pulls you down. And so then a fisherman had to get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the fisherman thought that Lord Chaitanya was a ghost. And then when he touched this ghost, he started chanting Hare Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya's associate, as Surup Damodar Goswami, had to act as a ghostbuster and slap the fisherman up, you know, just to get him to calm down, to tell him where Lord Chaitanya was. I mean, there's such feelings of separation. And then every time Lord Chaitanya would see the sand dune there, he would run towards the sand dune, thinking it to be Govardhan. You know, such intense separation from Krishna and from Vrindavan. And then sometimes they'd find Lord Chaitanya by the Simhadwara gate, and the cows from Tailinga were licking his body, and his whole limbs were extended like to several cubits long. and they had to chant. I mean, so many mood, so many manifestations of separation. And what to speak of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Gambhira, and he was smashing his head against the floor and the walls, and he would wake up in the morning, or the rays would come in the morning, he had bruises all over his body. That's called Divyanmada. It's transcendental madness. Pretty intense, isn't it? And we're meant to, and not be that intense, of course, but we're meant to actually understand that mood. I mean, this is the mood that Uddhava's exhibiting right now when he wants to go to Bhadarik Ashram. And so, and then Lord Chaitanya, they had to station one devotee as Lord Chaitanya's pillow. What is his name? I forget the devotee's name right now. But anyway, there was one devotee who was had to just stay in the same room with Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya would rest his either feet or head on this particular devotee, and the devotee had to stay awake all night to make sure Lord Chaitanya didn't hit his head on the walls of the Gambhira. And that's really intense separation. Just like sometimes when you see someone's feeling separation, let's say when Prabhupada passed away, the devotees were wailing, but they, of course, they didn't hit their heads on anything, but still, for days, the devotees were crying. So that's Lord Chaitanya's mood, that's Uddhava's mood here, and that's really the mood that we have to be cultivating, and the mood of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, you know, Hey Rod, Hey Braja Deva K, Hey Nanda, Nanda Shuno Kuta. Kuta means, where are you? You know, I mean, once in a while they got a glimpse of Krishna, but usually, I mean, like when Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting the banks of Radhakund, Sanatan Goswami saw Krishna shielding him from the tigers. You know the story? Yeah, he had a stick in his hand, he was just keeping the tigers away. Or when Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting Radhakund, then Sanatan Goswami saw Radharani shielding him from the sun with her veil. Yeah, I mean, once in a while. But generally, it was they were running around Vrindavan in that intense mood of separation. Isn't it? Hey, Rav, hey, Raja Devaki. Oh, goddess, Radharani, where are you? Hey, Nanda, Shuno Kuta, where are you, Krishna? And this is their mood of chanting Hare Krishna. You understand? This is their mood of seva. They were feeling this intense pain. And of course, one may say, I don't want to feel pain, I want to be happy. But that intense pain is actually happiness for a pure devotee. You understand? It's just, it's transcendental happiness, the happiness of love, because by that intense pain, one is connected to the beloved, to Krishna, to Srimati Radharani, the residents of Vrindavan, to the holy Dham, to Govardhan, by feeling that separation. And that's our mood in Krishna consciousness, or should be our mood. Not that, you know, everything's all right, you know, I go to see Krishna today, you go to the temple, Radhagiridhari. Hi, Vol, Radhagiridhari. Please, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari, give me a house by the sea. Find a nice wife for me. Where's Rasamandal? So, he's watching, I know, it's this way, teasing him. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. And even they go to the Gurudev's. Find a nice wife for me, Gurudev. Om Jaya Jagadisha Gurudevi. So anyway, so that intense mood. Actually, the price of pure devotional service is loyam, which is also an intense mood. It's like intense loyam means not only hankering, but intense hankering. And right now, of course, we're having that loyam for material things. It's like I just read in the news, and it's not about all of you, but you know, they just came out with the latest iPhone or something like that, and super expensive, you know, over $1,000 US, and people are just hankering, going to be lined up at the stores for days just to be the first one to purchase it. So, and people are hankering for so many things in this world, not only iPhones. And so we have to refocus that tendency to hanker, that intense mood of separation on Krishna and service to our spiritual master, service of the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and that will lead us to perfection. So this is what Uddhava is teaching us right now. Basically, he's saying, you know, I got to get out of here and see Narayanaraya. Because he was feeling so much separation. It describes this in the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, on that happy note. So, any questions? Yeah.
Is that the same reason that the Shukadeva Goswami, after reciting Bhagavatam, also leaves without saying a word? It just goes away?
No, we have more preaching to do. But that's the reason he left home. You know, he was... Anyway, everybody knows he was in the womb of his mother for 16 years, long pregnancy. So you can imagine the poor mother, you know, must have been pretty big. Anyway, so full-grown kid. So he was in the womb of his mother, and he just didn't want to come out because he was afraid of being admired. Because, you know, obviously when you come out, like you see with the kids, like little Narottam, everyone is going, how cute, how cute, how cute. They never do it with me. But anyway, they do it with little kids anymore. But, you know, anyway, when you're a little kid, you get all this attention. Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes this in his poem, I think his name is Vidyata Vilasa, that you get tortured in the womb, and then you say, Krishna, if you get me out of here, then I'll be a devotee. But then once you get out, everyone starts to, like, you're the center of attention. You think, this is the life. Mm. And you forget, right? Mm. That's funny. So, so we're very attached to that particular situation, being the center. And so, but getting back to hankering. So we should hanker for Krishna rather than hankering for mundane things. Turn that hankering around, the long, intense hankering. I must have, I must have. Just like you see children. If they don't have something, what do? Cry. They throw a fit. Like even Prabhupada, when he was young, he wanted two water pistols, right? And they only wanted to give him one for each hand. So he turned around. And actually, Prabhupada said to Prabhupada, he hit his head on the floor, ground, and Prabhupada would show the devotees that scar was still there. Did you know that? And, well, because anyway, that's normal for a child. It doesn't mean that someone wasn't a pure devotee. You know, even pure devotees throw fits when they're kids. So, that same intensity has to be there in our devotional service. Tivraina bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Was it akama sarvakama universe? No. Asa kama sarva kama moksha kama daradi tivraina bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It means whether you, even if you're full of material desires, desires of liberation, or free of material desires, tivra. Tivra means like forceful. The same thing, intensity. Then you have to execute your devotional service with that. Not passion intensity, but the intensity, you know, Krishna. I like George Harrison's song, I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be with you, Lord. It takes so long, I know. Actually, that's a perfect song, Vipralamba. I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be you, Lord. It takes so long, I know. Hallelujah. Hare Krishna.
On one hand, Guru Maharaj Ji, we are saying that we do the duty for the sake of duty with attachment.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we are seeing attachment to Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
So we have this contrasting.
Well, actually, the only way we can be detached is to be attached to something. It's impossible to be. If I tell someone, absolutely be detached, like I was speaking to someone here, who should remain nameless, now he's not in the room, saying, once we realize our spiritual nature as Brahman, then realize that we're eternal or whatever. And I said, but our spiritual nature is to serve Krishna. He said, no, our spiritual nature is just to be. Just to be ourselves. Because once we're ourselves, we don't need anyone else. Because basically we're God. And then we have to just have to become detached to be ourselves. And I said, how are you going to be detached? Have you succeeded at it? He said, I haven't figured out yet. So the way to be detached is to be attached. I mean, that's the same thing. Raso Vajram, Raso Pyasa, Padam Jastani Vart. You don't know that verse. Vishayavani Vartante Niharashadena. Does anyone know the verse? Very important verse. Vishayavani Vartante. By experience in a higher taste, one is fixed in consciousness. Param Drishtradivartite. I mean, Drishtra means to see. Drishtra means to see. Param Drishtra means higher taste, higher seeing. Nivartite, he's fixed. Raso Varjam, Raso Pyusha. That means he has more taste. Raso Varjam, higher taste. Raso Pyusha. Paramjishra Nivartade, he's fixed in his superior vision. So anyway, so that's how we just become attached intensely to Krishna. Krishna consciousness has to be from the heart. You don't have to be intense attachment, just like you were in love. You were in love. But anyway, so didn't last very long. Oh, it's you again? What happened to us? Isn't it? Yeah, that experience. What happened to us? And you look at your wedding pictures or whatever. You know, so anyway, so that same intensity is there with Krishna. So that's why one sees everything in Krishna and sees Krishna everywhere, because it's the same intensity. When in love, one sees their beloved everywhere. Now, even if you see another person, you think, well, maybe that's my beloved. There's so many songs like that. Where, oh, where can my lover be? Where, oh, where can he be? Anyway. Is it? Anyway, so that same intensity can be in Krishna consciousness. But if you don't maintain it, then you become inattentive. When you first join, you do have that same intensity usually, because there's immediate relief from all distress. So many things happen. You know, you find out about transcendental knowledge. Wow, this is great. It's something new. There's a newbie factor. But then after a while, it just becomes 16 rounds. Just grind them out. Another day at work. You know, it becomes like, I was just reading about Amazon. You heard of Amazon before? How the poor people there have to pack packages for other people all day long, you know. And so finally, people are getting crazy from packing packages. So they invented robots to do it. And so now you go into the Amazon warehouse, and there's robots packing everything. It's nice. And so anyway, so that gets like that. I should get a robot to do my job for me. or sometimes they say, between husband and wife, if one does the bhakti, they both get the service, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right, so you do service. You know, you can say to your husband or wife, you know, you do your chanting for me. So, anyway, so we have to maintain that same factor, the same mood we had when we were new in Krishna consciousness. Of course, one way to do that is by preaching, by spreading Krishna consciousness, because the philosophy comes alive. If you don't share what you hear, what you read, you don't really understand it that much. You know, the only reason I know the verses is because I've been using them. If I just sat in the Bhakti Shastri course and learned verses, I probably would have forgotten them all by now. But because I use them continually, then you remember them. That's why. I mean, I really didn't sit down and learn verses like, well, I got to remember this, I got to remember that. But I would go around with a notebook, you know, little cards and everything like the index cards, with a particular verse of the day. And then I would preach that verse to people. And then I learned it. Because just sitting and learning verses is kind of dry. And, you know, I got to learn 50 verses for Bhakti Shastri. It's not like you go to the university, you cram yourself before the test. You do an all-nighter, isn't it? And you regurgitate all the information the next day, and 2 days later you forgot everything you ever learned. Just to pass the test. But the real way to learn is to teach. Actually, even professionals say that. The real way to learn a subject matter is to teach that subject matter. Okay, any other questions?
Guru Maharaj,
yes.
This contrasting activities of our life, the purpose of religion is to unite people.
Yes, one purpose, yeah.
But so far, religion is dividing the whole world.
Yes.
Why is this contrast?
Why? Because people don't understand the essence of religion. Actually, all religions, bona fide religions, are the same. They're just the rituals are different.
Yeah.
And people focus on the externals. I mean, for example, let's say you have the Sunni Muslims fighting the Shiite Muslims, and they kill more of each other than they kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all based upon the succession from Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what they're fighting about, basically. I mean, there's other details, but it's like, you know, who is the next Acharya?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they're related to Muhammad's, was a cousin or something like that's the Shiites, mm-hmm. or they're not. And really, that's the essence of why they're fighting, and then they all hate the Sufis. Because Sufis dance too much. You know, anyway, the Sufis are like Krishna West for the Muslims. Isn't it? So because they're just looking at the externals of the religion. Like in ISKCON, you have the dirty wearers. You know, those are dirty wearers. Anyway, we had an interesting conversation last night with someone about it. But you have those who are just attached, the dirties. With people who, you know, are thinking, well, maybe we should try spreading Krishna consciousness wearing swimsuits. So, I'm just being funny. You know, wearing Western clothes. So, and they speak negatively about each other like they're demons. They even say that, you know, this person has a disease, you know, a spiritual disease, just, you know, just because they want to try out a little of something different, spreading Krishna consciousness. Because people become attached to the externals. You know, that's all. That's
ego.
Yeah, it's ego. It's ego. You know, we're the best. We're the best team. You know, like, they have soccer riots, so we have religious riots.
Yeah, I don't know. How does human society work? In which direction so that we can achieve the aim?
That's a big challenge. And a question I can't answer right now. How to do that? Maybe read more Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur encourages people of each religion to follow their own religion. He talks in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita that when we go to another religious place, we should appreciate that worshiping the same God in a different way. I mean, that really has to be the mood. And, you know, you can have interreligious dialogues too, like in Fiji. We've established this interreligious forum where, you know, I meet with the Muslims and the Seventh-day Adventists and all. You know, we have to meet. Sometimes we meet in our temple. Sometimes we meet in other religious things. And every month there's a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That helps a lot, too. But the common people, I mean, because you're meeting with the, let's say, the intelligent people of each religion, obviously they're going to get along. But the common people see things very externally. You know, we're the best. And, you know, I remember, you know, the religion that I was brought up in, we were taught we were the best. I mean, we weren't taught to kill people, fortunately. But we were taught that because we had a certain genetic code, you know, that we were actually the best. You know, the Jewish religion, they taught, there's, you have to actually have a Jewish mother to be Jewish. Otherwise, you're not bona fide. Yeah, and they have derogatory words for people of other religions. One was goy. Goy, it's a derogatory word. It's like, you know, it's like useless. It's like pig or something like that. And as I mentioned before, in their holy days, they would hire people because they weren't allowed to work on the holy days on Sabbath. So they would hire people to turn on the lights in their house. And that they were, you know, lesser people like that, higher people. They call it a Sabbath goy. Goy is a derogatory word, and Sabbath means this, you know, the Sabbath, the day of rest, which is Saturday. And so, you know, you look down upon other people. You know, they're just useless. You know, or racism or something like that, because we always like to feel that we're the best. And I think because the majority of people in Kali Yuga are, you know, shudras, like that means stupid. Translated into English. Anyway, no ability to discriminate. The sutra is just a proper defined. A sutra means someone who's always lamenting and hankering. you know, lamenting, oh my God, I could have had that, hankering, I should have that, and just completely on the bodily platform, that's a Shudra. Then you tend to think your religion is the best. I mean, just like, they do have soccer riots, probably not here, but in South America, people get killed after a soccer game. Can you imagine killing people just because your team won or lost? So people do that with religion. It's just a fancier soccer game for them. And it's, I guess if you have Varnashram, that would be one solution. Where the Shudras know their place. I hate to do that. I mean, it's not very egalitarian. Not politically correct. But, you know, we're not talking about racism, but, you know, people, Prabhupada said the Shudras, they would not get money, because what are they with money? They gamble. You know, gambling is such an intense thing. I was just reading the other day when I was in Australia that Australia is the number one country as far as per capita gambling. That there's $1,000 lost per capita in Australia, that means per person in Australia, on the average. You know, some people may lose $10 million. There's people who lost millions of dollars gambling in Australia.
A year.
A year. Yes, people just like lose everything. Of course, you have Las Vegas in the United States, people go to, and they actually have it, what's called a notary public there, so you can sign over your car. It's true. Because, you know, you put your car up and you get money so you can continue gambling. Look at you, Yudhisthira Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, and the government's making so much money from the gambling, too. I don't know if they do that here in New Zealand.
Yeah.
They have a lot over there, a lot of...
They do, like, they give quite a bit to the charity.
Oh, that's nice. They should give to the Hare Krishna movement. Anyway, so the point I'm making is the majority of people are Shudras. You got to just face it. They may not have the capacity to understand these higher truths. You know, as they say in America, what is it, six-pack Joe or something like that. You know what six-pack means? Beer. Six-pack. I mean, you go and they do this tailgating. You know what tailgating is? What? No. That's not what it means. I mean, that's one meaning of it. Another meaning is they actually go to with the pickup trucks. They all meet together at like race cars and everything, and put that and sit in the pickup trucks and drink beer together. That's a big thing. Anyway, of course, you're more cultured here in New Zealand. You don't have any of that stuff. No liquor, everything. Four regulated principles. You have I'm sure you have like a great sadhu in charge of the country. But anyway, so. So anyway, so the majority of people are going to be less intelligent, not capable. And they have to be perhaps not given the same amount. I mean, everyone's given freedom, but they're not given, let's say, the same leeway in society. They're taken care of like children. I mean, like a child, you got a little Narottam there screaming. So you don't say, make your own decisions in life, Narottam. Here's some money. He'd probably eat the money if you gave it to him. Right? I mean, would you? You wouldn't give him money, would you? So there's people like that. I mean, I can even think of one big political leader in the United States. They should remain nameless, you know, but it's a he who cannot be named. If you ever saw that movie. You ever see that movie? Harry Potter? Anyone here seen Harry Potter? You say he who cannot be named? Voldemort. So anyway, so I mean, he's like a child. Does he have the ability to discriminate? I don't think so, not much. So you got a lot of people who don't have the ability to discriminate. Of course, Prabhupada also said by chanting Hare Krishna is brain giving. So even people who were at that level before can rise to a higher level of discrimination. But if they stop chanting, you see sometimes devotees stop chanting and then they revert. It's called Puna Mushika Bhava. They revert to their previous Shudra tendencies. Just as soon as people stop chanting, chanting protects you. Keeps you in the mode of goodness or keeps you at least with a higher intelligence. And then you revert to your previous nature, whatever you were before. Okay, give him a credit card. Let him decide how to spend his money. Give him an allowance.
That's one question.
Yeah.
You mentioned about Lord Chaitanya extending his body.
Yeah.
Is this a sign of this bodily extension? Is a sign of ecstasy?
Well, it's a sign for Lord Chaitanya. We can't do the same thing. Yeah, it's a sign. It's an extreme sign. It's called Mahabhav. You know, there's different levels of ecstasy in the conjugal ras, and that's the highest level. Only exhibited, let's say, by Radharani and her associates like that. And only, to that extent, only with the spiritual body. That's called Vyabhachari Bhav. There's 33 of those. And, you know, pure devotees, they experience that. Some of them are like death, right? And not really dying, but just like for all intents and purposes. Like when Lord Chaitanya first saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted, and people thought he was dead, but then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had to put the cotton swab right by his nose, and he said there's a little breath coming out. That's one of the symptoms like that. Then you're just like, I mean, I can't do it, obviously. But it's like, for all intents and purposes, the person is dead. But they're not really. You know, there's just a slight breath and a slight heartbeat going through the body.
His body extends and
compact. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, you can't do it in a material body. If that happened to us, we'd be in the hospital, and you wouldn't come back like that. That would probably be a quadriplegic after that experience. But yeah. I mean, that's Lord Chaitanya. And of course, as we mentioned, Krishna looks like Lord Jagannath when he feels that ecstasy. That's Krishna actually look like Lord Jagannath. It's interesting. It's in Subhadra, of course, and Baladev, too. That's why the deities were left half finished, because Krishna, that was the way Krishna looked. That was Krishna's plan. All right. Interesting. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, it's a little bit different. Vipralamba bhav means emotion. Vipralamba means separation. Rudatmika, actually, is very interesting. Let's get into the definitions. So right now we're doing sadhana bhakti, which means practice. First stage of practice is called vaidhi. Or it's actually vaidhi. And you follow the vidhi. The rule, vidhi means the rules. Vaidhi means the process. You got it? In Sanskrit, when it's not Hindi. Vidhi means rules. Vaidhi is the process of following. Vaidhi bhakti. You know, anyway, you change the word according to what it means, according to the particle, a part of speech. So just like you have yoga and yogi. Yoga is the process, a yogi is a person who does the process. Or bhakta and bhakti. Bhakti. You know, bhakti is the process, bhakta is the person who does it, or bhaktini. I'm just making that one up. It's bhakti. It's the lady who does the process. So anyway, then you have vaidhi bhakti, which means vaidhi sadhana bhakti, to be precise. It's practice, following the rules and regulations, that's the primary focus. Then the higher stage of sadhana bhakti, you get raganuga. Raganuga means, basically, anuga means to follow raga, the rag, the emotion. And at that stage, you're beginning to understand your nature in the spiritual world, who you are in the spiritual world. And because you're understanding who you are in the spiritual world, you follow a ragatmaka bhakta. Ragatmaka means one whose atma or self is rag. Got it? Everyone understands? Raga atmaka. Raga atmaka. Atmaka means the self or the soul, and it means raga. His whole very essence is raga, which generally means one of Krishna's eternal associates and devotees. Or like, of course, Srimati Radharani, Lalita Vishaka, Yashodamayi, Subhas, Sridham, Sudham, any, or a cow. These are all Ragatmaka devotees. They're Atma, in other words, pure devotee. Ragatmaka devotee is a pure devotee. But Raghunuga means to follow in the footsteps or internally to serve a Raghatmaka devotee. Does that make sense? And that's what Raghatmaka means. And then when you do that, it's still, you're still doing sadhana, you're still practicing. You haven't achieved perfection. Next stage you come to is bhav, or bhava, where you're completely immersed in emotions. There's different varieties of emotions described by Srila Rupa Goswami, such as vibhav, that means that which stimulates an emotion. I'll go through real quickly. And then you anubhav, the emotions that come back, come out automatically from the stimulation. Then you have the asasattvikabhav, the eightfold emotions that come from contact with goodness. And then ultimately you have the vabhichari bhavs, also stai bhavs too, which means something that is steady. Stai means steady or constant. Yeah, steady or constant. And then ultimately you have the vyabhichari bhavs, or what's called sanchari bhavs. There's two different words for the same thing, which are the 33 like uncontrollable intermittent emotions that occur in the body and mind and heart of a pure devotee. So that's nectar devotion in a nutshell. Anyway, so right now, obviously, we're doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. You know, we're practicing. We're practicing and we're attentive to the rules and regulations. When we come to the Raghunuga platform, we still follow the rules and regulations, but we don't have to think of them as rules and regulations because we do them spontaneously. In other words, you wake up early in the morning, chant your rounds, and
you won't stop at 16.
You just keep going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And you may forget to go to work. So, not really. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very attentive in so far as his work is concerned. But you may forget to sleep at night. You just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Goranga. And be on, up all night shaking in ecstasy. That's what's in store. Does that make sense? That's Raghatmaka. Raghatmaka, Raghunuga, Vaidhi, Sadhana, and anyway, all the words. And Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Santari Bhava, Vyavachari Bhava, Stai Bhava. And I just taught the whole nectar devotion to you. If you can remember everything I just said, you can pass the Bhakti Shastri test. Also, there's things later on in the nectar devotion, like conflicting rasas, rasa bas, and there's indirect rasas, which we didn't have time to talk about today, like anger, adbhuta, shock, humor, ghastliness, chivalry. Yeah, it is wrong in direct words. Anyway, it gets a little complex, but that's what's in store for us, all these ecstasies. Then you forget. And then you'll identify yourself with your spiritual body, which may be the body of a lady, so that you won't mind having a lady's name. I mean, many devotees have ladies. Yashoda Nandana, right? Devaki Nandana. Rohini Sutta. Even people have names of demons, like Kamsahanta. Kamsahari, Kamsahanta. Right? Aristanami, you know, killer of the Rishta demon, yes. Agari, yeah. So anyway, there's so many nice names. But anyway, so we identify, ultimately, when you advance in bhakti, you identify yourself with your spiritual body. And then, as Krishna says in the Gita, while the body, your external body is sitting down, doing this, doing that, you know you're not doing anything. It's called the ultimate schizophrenia. So, split personality. That the body is doing all these things and you're just with Krishna. Okay, Krishna, play your flute.
So we're purposefully trying to become schizophrenic.
Yeah, in that way. Personality disorder. Anyway, so All right? It's nice, isn't it? That's what's in store. That's what you join for. That's what I join for. And then you take other people with you. Right? You grab their hand and say, come on, come with me to the spiritual world. That's my job. To take people to the spiritual world and then come back and suffer. Anyway, so... yeah. Drop them off, you know, here. We got a bus going today, you know, the spiritual world. I just wave goodbye as you all go to the spiritual world. What about my guru? He got my karma so I can go back to the spiritual world. Poor guy. All right. Is that right? Nice question. I think we have to end now, but because we got a full day of intense, not a full day, actually, an easy day today. Okay. Hope everyone can hear us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.